Athletics.
Okay.
Thank you very much. In athletics, South Africa's Akani Simbine broke his own national 100 meters record with a 9.96 clocking at the first ASA Night Series meeting in Pretoria on Tuesday. Simbine, whose previous personal best of 9.97 was set when winning the 100-meter title at last year's World University Games, had a solid start and was level with Emily Erasmus for much of the first half of the race. But once the 22-year-old hit top speed, he eased away from the rest of the field to win by about 3 meters. Simbine clocked 10.02 in the semifinals of the IAAF World Championships Beijing 2015 to miss a place in the final by just 0.03. Only one man, Frank Fredericks, has ever run faster at this stage of the season. The multiple world and Olympic medalist clocked 9.94 in Sydney in February 1999. Although Pretoria lies at altitude and so is conducive to fast times, Simbine bettered his 2015 early season marks from the same venue on numerous occasions later that year at sea level and with minimal wind. In the women's 100 meters in Pretoria, Karina Horn won in 11.23 from Alyssa Conley's personal best of 11.29, both Olympic qualifying marks. Conley then went on to win with the 200 meters in 23.48. Thapelo Fora, who will compete in the 4x400 meters at next week's IAAF World Indoor Championships Portland 2016, won the 400 meters in 45.64, while Orazio Cremona won the short put with 20.05 meters.
You ask for it and we answer it. The sunny side of sports is expanding our show time on VOA Africa.
Well, let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, and join Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma, who begins his reporting with wrestling.
Hosts Egypt bagged 9 gold, 6 silver and 7 bronze medals to top the overall medal table at the Africa Wrestling Championships, which ended in Alexandria on Monday. Tunisia is second ahead of Nigeria. Algeria is fourth, followed by Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea-Bissau, South Africa, Morocco, Namibia and Chad. Tunisia prevailed in the men's freestyle wrestling, with Egypt second ahead of Nigeria, while Nigeria carried the day in the women's freestyle wrestling, with Tunisia second ahead of Egypt. Egypt dominated the Greco-Roman event. Algeria were runners-up and Morocco placed third. Meanwhile, the East Africa Secondary School Sports Association Games President Justus Mugisha confirmed to the media in Kampala, Uganda on Monday that this year's regional sports event will be staged in Eldoret in Western Kenya. The week-long event, which features teams from Burundi, Rwanda, South Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, Zanzibar and hosts Kenya, will start on the 26th of August. Turning to football, disgraced former FIFA Vice President Michel Platini has filed an appeal with the Court of Arbitration for Sports against FIFA's six-year ban from all football activities, the Court of Arbitration for Sports revealed in Lausanne, Switzerland. According to FIFA's Ethics Committee and FIFA's Appeals Committee, Platini and former FIFA President Sepp Blatter attracted the sanction following a breach of the FIFA Code of Ethics. Finally, hosts Togo pipped Ghana by a solitary goal in a friendly match played in Lome over the weekend. Both sides fielded teams composed of home-based players. Both teams are preparing for the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers later this month.
Thanks, Mark Ouma. That was Mark Ouma reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
In African football, the CAF Confederation Cup, the second club football competition in the continent behind the CAF Champions League, resumes this weekend. Now we turn to our football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg, South Africa, for an update of this competition. But first, David, the schedule of matches this year has been condensed. What do you think there is the reason for that?
I think it's just it's a situation that CAF have to, you know, condense the fixtures, Douglas, because they've got two rounds of the African Cup of Nations coming up at the end of the month. And I know you're going to be very interested in that because you've got the top two sides in each group as far as the seeding goes clashing against each other. In your case, I know you'll be watching Uganda very carefully. They're going to come up against Burkina Faso, matches in both Ouagadougou and in Kampala. So that is the reason. It seems to work quite well, Douglas. I was very concerned at first when they had fixtures on successive weekends because you know and I know that sometimes you can have logistical problems in Africa moving around. It's not quite as easy as some of the other continents. You can't just hop from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to go a rather roundabout way. I mean, it's always fascinated me that when South African team Orlando Pirates last year were competing in the CAF Confederation Cup and doing very well, when they played in North Africa, they didn't just go up the east coast of Africa, as I think most of us would have assumed. What they did is they flew right across into Dubai, in the heart of the Middle East, then went from Dubai to Tunis or to Cairo or wherever. So an illustration there of the challenges of travel. But it must be said in favor of the clubs and in favor of CAF as well. Good organization because everything seems to work out okay.
David, now the CAF Confederation Cup resumes this weekend. What updates do you have?
Right. We move now, Douglas, to the second-tier competition, which is the CAF Confederation Cup. And an identical problem, this time for Al Ittihad of Libya. They couldn't travel to Niger last week because of the strike at Niamey Airport. So they were a bit late in playing their return match against Sonadep. And the Libyans got quite a fright. They were leading 4-1 from the first leg, and they scored again after just 3 minutes of the return match. So now they were 1-0 ahead on the day and 5-1 ahead on aggregate. But Sonadep came back with a bang in the closing stages, scored three goals to win the match 3-1. But unfortunately for the Nigerians, they went out 5-4 on aggregate. Now, Douglas, let's look at the draw for the last 32 stage of the CAF Confederation Cup. It's V-Club Makanda of Congo-Brazzaville against Police of Rwanda, Esperanca Sagrada of Angola against Desportivo Maputo of Mozambique, Maludia Oran of Algeria against Gag Noah of Ivory Coast, Kwakab Marrakesh of Morocco against Barak Young Controllers 2 of Liberia. I love the name of that club. Bits of South Africa against Azam of Tanzania, Renaissance of Chad against Esperance of Tunisia, Harare City of Zimbabwe against Senako of Zambia, Stade Gabessien of Tunisia against Kaloum of Guinea, Nasarawa United of Nigeria against CS Constantine of Algeria, Al Makawash of Egypt against Don Bosco of DR Congo, Lupopo of DR Congo against Al Ahly Shendi of Sudan, Ittihad of Libya against Mediama of Ghana, Loom of Cameroon against Fuz of Morocco, Villa of Uganda against JKU of Zanzibar, Atletico Olympic of Burundi against Munana of Gabon, and last but certainly not least, a really spicy one here, Africa Sports of Ivory Coast against ENPPI of Egypt. Again, Douglas, the first legs, March 11, 12, 13. Return matches, March 18, 19, and 20. Now, we've got some very sharp listeners on the Voice of America, and they will realize that last week on the show, I said Loom of Cameroon had been eliminated. They did, in fact, lose a penalty shootout against Deportivo Mongomo of Equatorial Guinea. What's happened since, Douglas, is it has been discovered that Mongoma fielded an ineligible player. So they were disqualified, and UMS Loom of Cameroon are back in the competition. And they will, interestingly, play the only former champions of the CAF Confederation Cup in this field, and that is FUS Rabat of Morocco.
That was our football guru, David Legg, reporting from South Africa.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Just tune in to the African Beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
African Beat. We love it!
I feel good!
But right now, you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports, so check it out.
Well, the former World Anti-Doping Agency president, Dick Pound, has described as reckless beyond description Maria Sharapova's failed drug tests. Sharapova, who is 28, revealed on Monday that she tested positive for the banned substance melodinium in January. A number of sponsors have already distanced themselves from the Russian. Pound is reported saying he cannot understand how Sharapova found herself in this situation, given the high stakes involved, both professionally and financially. Sharapova has been the highest-earning female athlete in the world in each of the past 11 years, according to the Forbes list. However, sportswear giant Nike has suspended its relationship with the five-time Grand Slammer, while watch manufacturer Tag Heuer has cut its ties. German car maker Porsche said it was postponing planned activities with Sharapova until the situation became clearer. And now, for what's trending on social media, we turn to Sharapova should be trending on the media.
Oh, absolutely. Maria Sharapova is trending. On the one hand, you have a lot of people on social media wondering about this substance that she tested positive for. Is it a performance-enhancing drug? People, mm-hmm. Some people are saying you're only supposed to take this drug supposedly for 4 to 6 weeks. She was taking it for 6 to 10 years. People were wondering, you know, that seems strange. Other people saying, no, it's only recently been added to this list of banned drugs, so she was taking it legally. But there's a lot of debate on what punishments she might see mm-hmm. from the tennis officials. One punishment she's already seeing, and apropos of your point that she's the highest-paid female athlete for the past 11 years, she's losing a lot of endorsements. That's why, in fact, she's been the highest paid female athlete. Mm-hmm. I heard something earlier today that she's only made in tournaments several million dollars and about $30 million in endorsements. So she's losing a lot of those endorsements, as social media is noting, things like Nike, Porsche, some watch companies, foods, mm-hmm. other things that are backing away from her. Mm-hmm. And one thing I did find interesting, amidst all this debate, you have a lot of people saying, oh, of course she was doping, she should be punished. There were two hashtags on Twitter that I saw trending, hashtag I stand with Maria and hashtag whole world with Sharapova. So she does have her fans still out
there. She has a very big fan base.
She has a huge fan base mm-hmm. around the world, and so a lot of those fans are coming to her defense. Interestingly, also Serena Williams, one of her biggest rivals. No love lost between those two on the tennis court. She's mm-hmm. actually come out and offered some kind words to Maria Sharapova, saying she was shocked, but saying that she thought it was very courageous for Sharapova to come out and make this announcement.
I see. So, Andrew, what else is trending?
Well, we have that Sharapova story, lots of people talking about that, and also a story that Facebook may be trying to get into the sports game with their live streaming. So Facebook has introduced live streaming now where you can, like Periscope on Twitter, you can stream live to your Facebook, and many people are embracing this, using this. Well, Facebook says they want to live stream National Football League games, particularly on Thursday nights. Used to be Sunday was the day when you would watch football here in the U.S., and it's expanded now. There's a Monday night football game, and now there's Thursday night football. Well, Facebook wants to jump on that Thursday night football, stream that live on Facebook. So rather than watching football on TV, you might be watching it on Facebook on your laptop or even your smartphone.
I would think that's a very smart move on the part of Facebook.
Absolutely. It's the one that they're going to get a lot of audience for if they succeed at this. It might be a very expensive proposition for them to try to buy the rights to those Thursday evening games. Of course, anytime you have rights in the National Football League to air games, it can be a multi-billion dollar with a mm-hmm. B affair. Mm-hmm. So it may cost a lot of money for Facebook, but it may pay out for them in the end as they get more users on to watch these games and maybe sell some more ads and make some more money themselves.
I see. Well, thanks a lot, Andrew. Andrew will be back again on Friday with more sports topics that are trending on social media. And that's it for this edition of the Sunnyside of Sports. I'm Douglas Impuga. Now back to you, Kim.
Thank you, Douglas. And listen to the Sunnyside of Sports Monday through Friday.